Hello again. I am going to use a little bit with the PowerPoint again today. So hopefully that's helpful for you. But I'm going to make you use your fingers again. So whatever you got to do to warm them up so you can flip through Scripture, get them ready because you'll need them. I was thinking about a few things and felt quite overwhelmed here in service. But I'm sure there's many of you that have had a lot of people that you've lost in your life. I find it interesting, and it was the will of the Lord, and the Lord let it happen, that I grew up going to a lot of funerals, whether that was family or friends. My dad was very much, we're going to a funeral. So I grew up in a lot of them. And interesting today with position and everything coming up, but with where I'm at in life. But I saw a lot of ups and downs, a lot of different people with backgrounds, lots that didn't believe in God, rejected God, ones in different denominations. So I saw a lot of that throughout my years. Younger, I don't know what everyone classes me as, middle-aged or in-between-aged, whatever that may be. I know, John, you were talking about how long you guys have been married, and Stan, and I'm thinking you've both been married longer than I am age-wise, but that's good, and I'm sure that you've been blessed. And being in those funerals and having close ones that I've lost to, many friends, and this isn't to be a pity party on myself, but just to bring out the fact of there is affection that we have for others. There's an affection that is good that we should have for others. And even with the songs this morning and just the conversation and the prayers that were brought up, that we do look to God for help and in a time of need. And we can trust Him that He will do that for us. Trying to figure out how to play this thing in my mind. It wasn't working. So if you remember, this was last week. But before we do that, would you flip to Colossians 3:15? I want to read this one verse again. This is the verse that I've been going off of from this into other scriptures. And I want to read it, and then I want to pray. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And if you didn't get there yet, it's okay. When you get there, keep yourself there. Let's pray. Father, I just truly thank you for the grace that you have shown to each of us when we have found life in Christ. And if we have never found life in Christ, Father, I just ask that if they are here today, that they would be softened, that their hearts would be open to the truth, that their minds would comprehend and understand the goodness of you, that all those lies that Satan tells would be extinguished by your word, your truth, the sword that pierces, and that true life would come, and that they would have eternity with you and not eternity in hell. Father, open our ears, all of us here this morning as we go through these scriptures. Soften our hearts as we go through these scriptures and look after our tongue so that our tongue will speak love and encouragement. And if we have to, direct in a way that is to correct, that we wouldn't do it from a deceitful heart. And Father, I thank you for the noise of a little one this morning and any others. What a blessing they are. Bless our time here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So, up here, cultivate a vertical relationship. If you remember these from a few weeks back, I know someone had asked for them, that I gave them to them, but it says cultivate, I'm not going to go through these a whole bunch, but cultivate a vertical relationship with God, says right there. Spend time in prayer, reading the Bible, and meditating on God's word. This then strengthens your personal relationship with God, which in turn helps you relate better with others. Keep that last part in your mind. Practice love and forgiveness. Make a conscious effort to show love and forgiveness in your interactions. Remember that love is a choice and an action, not just a feeling. Reflect on 1 Corinthians 13. Again, if you didn't get these, write that down for yourself. Reflect on it, pray, meditate, and then strive to embody these qualities. Seek peace in relationships. This can be a hard one. Aim to resolve conflicts peacefully and maintain harmony in your relationships, and this might involve active listening, understanding different perspectives, and being willing to compromise. Let the peace of Christ rule. Allow the peace of Christ to rule, or to guide, your decisions and actions. Does everyone do that every time they do anything? Does anyone want to put up their hand to say yes to that one? It'd be perfect if you did, but when faced with challenges, remind yourself of God's presence and peace and let that influence your respond. Focus on unity. Work towards unity within your community, whether it's your family, church, or workplace. Encourage cooperation, support one another, and build each other up. I'll get to a little bit more of that kind of a concept of that later, hopefully. Live out your faith. Apply the teachings of the Bible in your daily actions. This means being honest, kind, patient, and compassionate in all your dealings. Not some, all of them. Reflect and grow. Regularly reflect on your actions and attitudes. Seek to grow spiritually by learning from your experiences and striving to align more closely with God's will. We are, as Christians, to seek God's will after we found life in Christ. So we need to regularly reflect on our own attitudes then to see if they are incorporated with the will of God. Are we cultivating? Are we building? Farmers, cultivating. When you cultivate, you're cleaning up that field so that you can plant that beautiful seed that you want in there to flourish and come up. And you work it over. You clear it up. And if there was a pile of trees in it, you're not going to get in there. If you have a 30-foot cultivator, very well. If there's 200 trees in an area of 40 acres, it's not going to go well. So you're going to either want to get those trees out, unless you want to maneuver back and forth. Some here with orchards is a little bit different. But in open farming, you want to clear that land and have it so that it can flourish and be enriched and bring up the rich seed, the Word of God. So regularly reflect on your actions and attitudes. Sometimes at the end of the week, I'll do this. Sometimes after 3 months, I'll come back and reflect on my attitudes and my behaviors and meetings and conversations with people and go, was I seeking you, Lord, to give spiritual guidance? Or was I striving after my own will and purpose to bring out what I wanted? Or was I aligning myself closely with the will of God? So, don't look at that question. We'll go blank with that one. I did ask you that one before, but I'm going to open up the next points here. So this was last week. Some of you may have not been here, but interpersonal relationships, as I said at the very beginning, this seems like it becomes another part all the time each week as I've been studying through this. I don't even know how many pages I've got on this thing so far now. I might be at 40, but I'm not doing 40 pages. So today it'll be over time. I'm not actually totally sure how many parts we're going to go with this, but communication was the one that I got through last time. Effective communication is the cornerstone of any robust relationship. It encompasses active listening. That's a hard one. Clear articulation of thoughts and feelings and openness to feedback. Then I went a little further with listening. And it's, first of all, one thing is to listen to the word of God. One of the greatest and most important aspects of a teacher is the ability to listen. And sometimes people are put in teacher positions, but they have never learned to listen. And as a Christian, and if they're a faithful steward of God, they will learn to listen. And it doesn't mean that they never speak, because teachers speak. I speak. Many people speak. Stan ran around and he got to speak and get to hear from others too and to give prayer. And as Stan would know, as a teacher in general in the school, you talk, but you need to learn to listen, as we should all. So trust is the next thing that I want to get into for this week and to reflect on it. And I don't think we'll be going to respect, but I'll just tell you them right now. Trust, respect is the next one that we'll get into. Empathy, conflict resolution. 6, support. Providing emotional, practical, and moral support strengthens relationships. Sometimes you just need to sit with somebody and say absolutely nothing. You just sit there and they feel comforted and loved and respected and honored, and it humbles you. So, trust. Building trust takes time, and through our consistency of actions comes dependability. You have nothing up there and I'm clicking on it and no one said to me, all right, so let's do this again. You have a song, Robin, you want to sing? There it is. All right, is it there? Okay, I was clicking through and I was thinking you were seeing it, but you didn't. So that's okay. You heard it. Communication. Communication. Listening. Trust. Is it there? Okay. Building trust takes time, and through our consistency of actions comes dependability. I underline that for emphasis, clearly. And 2, have you all see that, and I'm going to leave that up as we go through the different scriptures and as you look up, but look back at that. Building trust takes time, and through our consistency of actions comes dependability. So it's essential for us to secure a safe environment where individuals can be confident in safety to share personal information. When we ask for prayer, sometimes we don't always give all the information. Sometimes we give all of it. But we need to be careful when prayer is brought forward and when we give that prayer for people to hear of what's going on in our lives, because we want to be relational. So we want to ask for prayer too, because it incorporates us together as a body of believers. And we need to pray for one another intentionally. If you have your Bibles, flip to John 17:20. You can keep your finger in Colossians if you like, or not. Just let it go. John 17, 20-23. It says, and this is from Jesus, "And do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one." That's us. so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. That is from Jesus, the one who went to the cross for us, who's pleading on our behalf before the Father that we would be one in Christ, one body. We were praying this morning earlier, just before coming in here, and I was thinking about the prophecy of the dry, dead bones. And when those dry, dead bones, I'm changing up my sermon a bit, just to let you know. When those dry, dead bones come to life, they didn't stay the way they once were. And all the sinew and ligaments and everything, I don't know all the technical terms for the body, but everything that come together was because God formed it, but there was bones. And God is the one who works within us the joints and ligaments to work together to be one body, because he is the head. And if we're not looking to Christ the head, then we're missing the fact of the glory of God that is for us in him. Something in Colossians, if you notice going through it, I would really recommend through this week, as you think about trust, just make it simple. Write it down for yourself if you have to. Trust. If you can write all this down too while I'm talking, go for it. Think about that and meditate on the Word of God and look to think, are you a trustworthy person? Is someone willing to come to you to share everything? And then in Colossians 2:2, it says that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. Joined together and knit together. But something that I want you to notice, and just going off the word knit, is it goes on later on into Colossians 2:19, and there's another word that says knit there in my ESV translation. But I want to read the verse just before in verse 18, Colossians 2:18. It says, let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels. So insisting on neglecting marriage is what that is there. Worship of angels is pretty clear. Going on in detail about visions puffed up without reason by his senseless mind. Then in verse 19, listen to this. And not holding fast to the head. Christ is the head. He is the one that we are in and should be in, but they're not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. Just like Robin was talking about earlier, the Spirit is the one that does the work within us. We must strive forward. Paul talks about beating his body into submission, teaching it to do what it needs to do. Just like a runner when they run. I'm sure there's ones in here this morning that run. Sheldon, I know wherever you are, you run. When you run, you have to train your body to do what it may not want to do. And it takes consistency. It takes habits. So build trust. Building trust takes time. So you need consistency. If you have bad habits on building trust, make new ones. And through our consistency of actions comes dependability. We become a dependable person. And that's what we're to be in Christ. So it's essential for us to secure a safe environment so that people can come and depend on us and trust us. So I ask the question too for yourselves, are you a dependable person? Can people depend on you? Or do you just think you are? I hope you are. I hope you are that person. So within trust, we have interpersonal relationship. So biblical trust entails placing confidence in each other, as Christians, this is Christians I'm talking to, fostering mutual respect and forming strong, healthy connections based on God's principles, not your principles. Rachel and I had a conversation the other day, and she got me thinking on this one. So you know how I've talked about listening. So this is going off of trust. So if you listen to someone, You may listen to respond, and that's not always good. You should listen to hear their point of view, to understand where they're coming from, to get what they're saying. You can listen to respond. I do it. It's easy to do. But listen to not respond is a hard habit to break, or is a hard habit to make if you don't have it. So you got to break the old habit. That's why when we first started this, it was putting off the old and putting on the new so that we can make new changes, not with our own opinions of what we're good, but with the Word of God, what is good. And that's why I gave you that other paper last time and gave you the internet site to go on to look further into that. So I hope you've been blessed by that. And if not, use it again. Go back in your bulletin that you haven't thrown out, right? You just keep them all, put them in a pile. No, so trust, consistency. And I'm not saying that all this is perfect in us. Just remember that. There's many times I slip in these areas. Lots, I should say. But I want to strive forward. I want you to strive forward. So mutual respect is what happens within trust. Trust is established on the foundation of mutual respect and the appreciation of each other's worth. Isn't that true? Let me read that one more time. Trust is established on the foundation of mutual respect and appreciation of each other's worth. So Romans 12:10 is where I was going to read from for this, if you would flip there. Some of you might even know this by heart already. Romans 12:10. If you don't get there, I'm going to go. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Is that your aim? Is that a habit in your life to outdo one another in showing honor? These verses, when I read through this and thinking about trust and the verses that just coming into Scripture, I know that there's major context within this, and this isn't coming out and taking away the context of the Scripture. It's bringing more light to the context of the Scripture. And it's saying that we should be devoted to one another in love, and that we should honor others above ourselves. And we can say these words. The tongue can say whatever it would like to, but we do know that it comes from the heart too. But when we say such things, that we then should put them into action in our lives. The other thing within trust is honesty and integrity. Being truthful and maintaining reliability in our interactions. So the other verse that goes with this, which would help, I believe, is Ephesians 4:25. And again, I would recommend just mark these down. You have that little paper in there for notes within your bulletin, so that you can look back at these yourselves and meditate over the word. Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. It was once said that truth without love isn't truth, and love without truth isn't love. Next thing within trust, faithfulness and reliability. Being dependable and keeping your word strengthens trust. I'm sure the ones who've been married for some time know for a fact that that's true. Being dependable and reliable matters. So Proverbs 20, verse 6 is where I'd like you to go. Proverbs 20, verse 6. Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find? I'm going to read for you from the NIV as well. Being dependable and keeping your word strengthens trust, was what I was talking about. Sorry, but Proverbs from the NIV, Proverbs 20, verse 6. Many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person, who can find? Forgiveness and reconciliation is another thing within trust. Trust requires willingness to forgive and pursue reconciliation when conflict arises. Colossians 3:13, which we've read already as we've gone through this, but it says, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also forgive. Again, I want to say the same thing that I've been saying through this whole thing. Do not start pointing at other people saying they must forgive me. They must build or complete what these truths are. We need to look at ourselves and focus on what the Lord wants to do within us. Are we ones who are willing to confess sin to our brothers and sisters? Are we willing to open up, to build that trust? So, be a person who is truthful in your actions. Empathy and compassion is another one. Understanding and sharing the feelings of others to build deeper connection. This is still within trust. Do you know what empathy means? Maybe you've looked at it. Does anyone know what empathy means? The meaning, English meaning? Okay, empathy is the ability to understand and share feelings, thoughts, and experiences of another person. This doesn't mean you condone everything that they do. It involves recognizing and being sensitive to what someone else is going through. It's like you are imagining their situation as your own situation and then responding with compassion and support. When we show empathy to someone, we are connecting, building understanding, and forming tight relationships. This can be applied in so many areas. The workforce, within your home, with your children, with your husband, with your wife. You can apply all these things that I'm giving you in every area of your life. Your next door neighbor, you can apply this. So 1 Peter 3:8, I'm just going to read this one to you. It's from the NIV, and it says, finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. From the ESV as well, it says, remember those who are in prison. This is 1 Peter 3:8 was the first one I read. And then from the ESV in Hebrews 13:3, it says, remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. We know the book of Hebrews was for the Hebrew people. We can take those applications for ourselves, though, and have it pointed out for us in 1 Peter 3:8. Are we sympathetic? Do we love one another? Are we compassionate and humble? That's all what the Lord can do through the Spirit in us. So the other thing within trust as well is encouragement and support, providing emotional and practical support to one another. 1 Thessalonians, I'm just going to read this to you for time here. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. They were blessed by Paul and what they were doing. He was encouraging them because they were already doing that. They were encouraging one another. Exhibit patience. Exercising patience and giving each other time to grow and improve. Don't just expect that all these things will work perfectly in your own life or in your neighbor's life. If we are to take hold and put on new selves after the likeness of our Savior, we embrace these principles by cultivating, as we talked about earlier, trust in our interpersonal relationships. But it first must start with our vertical relationship with God, then creating supportive and loving community that reflects God's love. Do you remember when I talked about let, and we went through in Colossians here where it said, and Stan had brought up, which I love that he brought this up when we were in our prayer meeting. Again, prayer is tonight at 7. Join us if you can. Colossians 3:15, it says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. If we've been saved, we now have a call into unity. And we're not going to know this perfectly, but we know that we need to strive after the will of God to know what unity means. And the word let is there. and something that I formed, this is a very short portion of everything that I got from Let. Understanding the biblical importance of letting events unfold allows us to see how letting the peace of Christ rule in our hearts plays an active role in God's divine authority and our responsibility to live according to His will. I know there's a bit within that, but it's true. To let the work of God happen. So if we are letting the work of Christ happen, then we know that it will be completed. I want to give you an example. We'll come to a close here shortly. I heard this one. It's a little funny. A pastor was sharing with the congregation his message, and maybe you've heard this one, but he gave an example of a husband or a man and a woman getting married. And after they got married, there was excitement still. They went into the car to leave, and the evening was finished. They were ready. They were going to go to their motel or home. I'm not totally sure where it was exactly they were going to go. And the wife said, "Take me home." And he said, "What? Like, why am I taking you home? We're going to go to our home. We're making a life. We're making a home." And she said, "No, I've given you everything. I've given you all that I wanted to give you. We're married. That's it, right? I've given of myself. And now I want to go back to my home." Sometimes we can do that with Christ. We can say, "Yeah, I love you. You got me. Okay, but I'm going to just stay the way I am. I don't want to change nothing. I don't want to put off that old self because I enjoy that habit. That's a lovely habit that I have. And we don't want to put on that new one that is given to us in Christ that the Spirit will do in us by His hand." So there's more to that whole thing. But I just want to leave that with you for you to think about, is that when we know there's ones that have been married, and there's some that are probably thinking about marriage too. But you better stop thinking about marriage up there, you young ones, right now. 40 more years. No, I'm just kidding. We long to be together. We want to join together. There's a longing within us because from the beginning, as Stan said earlier, from the beginning, marriage was a beautiful thing. Adam and Eve, man made. He needs a helper to come along. The husband is to care for. Then we know all the fall that happens later on. And because of that, Christ had to come to pay the price so that we could live to have new hope and new life. So we need to build trust. And in order to build trust, you need to study your word and you need to live out the habits of the Word of God. And I know that when I set aside my Bible reading, and I'm sure many of you know this, when you set it aside and don't spend time in the Word, that there, I'll just point at myself to give you an example. I start to become a little bit irritable towards actions of others because I'm starting to focus on more of a fleshly instead of on what the Lord is doing within someone's life. And when I spend time in the Word, I get compassion because it focuses on who God is and what He is doing within me. And then I start to see how messy I am and I don't forget my messiness. It's just like the older ones. I'm sure you know that there's things that you've forgotten what it was like or what it was like. You've forgotten what it was like maybe at times to be six. I know I've slowly forgotten those things. And when we're together in the unity of the body, there's so many facets and fashions to it that we are reminded when we have all the different age groups because we forget. We can be a forgetful people. And that's why we need the Word of God to remind us. The Hebrew people always needed reminders. So, trust. I want to read this to you and then I want to pray. Building trust takes time. Through our consistency of actions comes dependability. So it's essential for us to secure a safe environment where individuals can be confident in safety to share personal information. Please think about that today. If you need to take a picture of that with your phone, please pull out your phone and take a picture of it, whatever you got to do. If you need this, I can give it to you just so you can think about it. And other scriptures that I have that you didn't get, please come to me to get them if you need them. I want to pray and then I want to sing some more with you. And I hope that you are blessed by this. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you that we can trust you, that we can depend on you, because you are always truthful. And Father, I know that Earl is hard pressed on his heart, and I just ask that you encourage and uplift him. I know that there's others that are too. I know myself too. There are things going on in my own life as well with my spouse, and I just pray for Rachel right now that you would strengthen her body and all the physical ailments that she deals with so often. And I know that there's others that deal with Dan as well and Mike, and I just ask that their focus, my focus, would not become on the flesh, but to remember that everything that you do and every moment, time, is not out of your hand, and that you have it there for a purpose and a reason. And first of all, we know to glorify you. And then as well, we know it's to mold us, to make us into the perfect image of Christ. And one day we will have new bodies. But at this moment, we can taste a little bit of it now because of the work of Christ and what you have done for us. Please help us to love one another and to be unified with one another, and not to be harsh with one another, not to be and have a critical spirit. And if we see that, or I ask that the Spirit would bring it out within us if we do have a critical spirit, and that we would put it off, and that we would seek to encourage and to love our brothers and sisters. And Father, I thank you for so many here that have been an encouragement to me, and I know that they've felt, others have felt the encouragement of them. Father, would you bless each of us as we go from here into whatever is entailed for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
I'm leaving. Let's stand and sing together.
Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you.
1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Be blessed. Go in peace.